Here's why the top 1% of podcasters obsess over two systems you've never even heard of.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, I'm Tiger O'Shea.
And I'm Anthony Wineri.
And in this episode, you'll discover the critical difference between exposure, conversion, and retention, and why skipping steps kills your momentum.
How to stop wasting energy and start building a podcast that sells itself.
And finally, the two systems that the top 1% of podcasters obsess over the most never even consider.
Welcome back to another Monday episode where we dive deep and explore the hidden reasons why your podcast isn't growing or monetizing as fast as you like, and address the uncomfortable truth around what's really holding you back from taking your show to that next level.
So, after analyzing hundreds of failed podcast promotion campaigns, we've identified a devastating pattern, which is the harder most podcasters try to grow through exposure, the closer they get to quitting altogether.
The problem isn't that your marketing is bad. The problem is that you're solving the wrong problems entirely. And in this episode, we want to kind of share a weird analogy with you about a bookstore that will completely transform how you think about podcast growth and why the most successful podcasters spend 80% of their energy on invisible systems rather than visible promotion. You'll learn exactly why podcast promotion feels like you're pushing a boulder up a hill and the counterintuitive approach that makes growth feel effortless once you understand it. So Ty, what is the growth trap that most podcasters experience?
Well, most podcasters, when they're trying to grow a show, they immediately focus on getting more exposure. So I feel like we say this in every episode, but if you're new here or if you've been listening but haven't caught on yet, promoting aggressively on social media, inviting big guests onto the podcast, maybe even clipping up some short form clips and blasting them out everywhere. The usual stuff, right? More exposure. And ultimately, this is all following what successful podcasters appear to be doing. But weirdly, this approach often leads nowhere, right? You get wasted effort with minimal returns.
Questioning if the show is even worth continuing.
Declining enthusiasm because results are not materializing.
And a downward spiral of frustration, self-doubt, and thoughts about quitting.
So why does this happen?
Well, this happens because the fundamental assumption is flawed. The assumption really being, you know, if I just get more exposure, then my podcast will grow. Now, don't get me wrong, this sounds super logical. Obviously, you know, if I just get more exposure, it's going to grow. Yet, after interviewing and coaching over 400 podcasters, we've discovered a critical flaw in this thinking. Now imagine for a second you have a bookstore owner called Sarah, and okay, she's been open for 2 years in a very busy neighborhood with plenty of foot traffic. Thousands of people walk by her store every single day, and many of them even come inside to browse. Yet she hasn't made meaningful sales in months. So frustrated, Sarah concluded that she needed more exposure in order to get her business to be way more successful. If more people know about my bookstore, then surely more books will sell. Again, it seems totally logical. So she increased her marketing budget and began inviting famous authors into her store as they were doing these guest appearances. Now for these events, they did draw a massive crowd, but it seemed like everyone who came for the authors and left without buying actual books from the store. So her problem persisted. And then one day, a marketing consultant called Fernando, visited her store.
I see you're constantly busy, Fernando observed, but something feels off. How many sales did you make last month?
Almost none.
I thought so, Fernando nodded. Brutal. You've recently started getting more people into the store with these author events, right? I'm sure that wasn't cheap, and clearly you're doing a great job getting exposure. But that's not your problem. People already know you exist. They walk in your store, but they're not buying. And that's not an exposure problem, it's a conversion problem. You're just not turning these browsers into buyers. Fernando with the cold, hard words. He glanced around the store. Look at your neighborhood. It's filled with entrepreneurs and career-driven professionals. But all your books are fiction. Why not change your inventory to personal development and business books that would appeal to the people who actually live here?
That day, Sarah ordered an express delivery. Not of McDonald's, but of a new inventory. She stayed up all night, rearranging her displays to feature the books that were relevant to her actual audience. And the next day, the books began selling like never before.
Oh, Fernando the know-it-all.
Oh, Fernando. So 3 months go by and Sarah's store was making consistent sales, but she noticed a troubling pattern. Customers rarely returned after the initial purchase. And Fernando happened to visit once again.
He just couldn't help himself. Business looks better, he remarked. How are the repeat customers?
That's a problem, Sarah sighed. People buy once and then they disappear.
Yeah, I thought so. Brutal. You solved the conversion problem, turning strangers into customers, but now you have a retention problem and you need to keep them coming back for more. How about this? Why not collect email addresses from every new customer and then send them some weekly emails featuring snippets from new releases and insights from the books they actually might enjoy next after their current read?
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, I'll tell you more. Create personalized recommendations. When someone buys a leadership book, follow up with related titles that they might enjoy next. Make yourself the trusted curator of their reading journey. Make it so that when they finish a book, they should already know which book from your shop they'll want to buy next. How amazing would that be, Sarah? Huh? Ever think about that?
Damn, that would be awesome. So of course, Sarah immediately implemented these changes. She created a customer database, tracking people's preferences and their reading habits. Her weekly newsletter became highly anticipated, and her personalized recommendations were always spot on. She was obsessed with her readers and how to get them coming back for more. Within 6 months, her audience retention had increased dramatically. Customers were flooding in left, right, and center. Most buyers were now returning for their second, third, and fourth purchase, and her business in a matter of months doubled. Now, with conversion and retention systems firmly in place, Sarah reconnected with Fernando.
Now is the perfect time to invest in marketing and exposure. Before, spending money on marketing would have been wasteful, bringing people to a store that couldn't convert or keep them for long. But now your business is a well-oiled machine, because for every 100 people who walk through that door, you know roughly how many people will buy and how many people will come back.
So of course, Sarah invested significantly into her marketing, local advertising, author events, and community partnership. But something was different this time. This time, her results were drastically different. The same marketing tactics that previously yielded literally nothing in return are now producing exceptional returns. For every dollar she spent on marketing, she could predict the lifetime value of new customers it would bring. Her bookstore became the neighborhood's most successful retail business. Now, it wasn't because she had the most foot traffic on earth, but because she had built systems that effectively converted visitors into buyers and then turned those first-time buyers into loyal, long-term customers. Now, you might be thinking, have you guys gone crazy? Like, what the hell's going on with the story? Like, Fernando sounds freaking awesome. Love Fernando. But what the hell does this have to do with podcasting? Well, you see, the bookstore analogy reveals something far deeper than just a random podcast strategy. It lays bare the fundamental truth about human psychology, business building, and why we so often sabotage our own success.
When facing uncertainty, we as humans instinctively look to others for guidance. And this is called social proof, right? Our tendency to assume others' actions reflect superior knowledge. And a business, well, actually everywhere, this creates dangerous copycat behavior. So Sarah obviously watched other big bookstores holding author events, so she followed suit. Similarly, podcasters see other shows, collaborating with guests, getting the big names on, or, you know, clipping up their content, putting it everywhere, and they immediately assume that must be the thing that is making them grow and that they must be growing. But what we fail to recognize is that the strategies visible from the outside rarely reveal the true engine of another's success. And of course, as we know, we see the marketing, but not the meticulous conversion strategy that they have, the, you know, the retention and the repeat buying, the kind of how that would translate to podcasting. Ultimately, this surface level imitation creates businesses built on foundations of sand, right? Copies of copies that were never successful in the first place. Each generation losing clarity about what actually drives results.
Perhaps most insidious is what behavioral economics call feedback delay. When the consequences of our actions aren't immediately apparent, we struggle to connect cause and effect. In Sarah's bookstore, poor conversions didn't immediately manifest as a crisis. She still had a bunch of foot traffic, people still browsed the end of the store, but the pain accumulated slowly over time, only becoming undeniable after months and years of struggle. Similarly, a podcaster with poor conversions or a retention strategy don't immediately collapse. The download numbers might even grow slightly, but maybe a bit slower. Now, they might get some more promotions and get high-profile guests and the show grows slightly. But this delay in feedback makes a very difficult learning environment where we easily misattribute success and failure, drawing incorrect conclusions that become embedded as strategy. And what this looks like really is a podcaster gets a high-profile guest into the show, they have one episode that does well, and they just think, oh, if I just keep doing this, the podcast will keep growing. But they kind of fail to see that the majority of those listeners, number one, just never stick around, and you end up in this weird chasing high-profile guest hamster wheel, which has never worked for you in the first place.
And I think that brings us to a brutally honest truth that's really happening when the podcast isn't growing. And it's that most podcasters are caught in this illusion that you mentioned, which is the mistaken belief that more visibility automatically leads to more success. But as we observed from the story, it's kind of like trying to fill a bucket with a hole in it just by pouring in more water rather than fixing the hole. It's very dangerous, right? But it also feels productive. And the same with podcasting, like guest appearances, all the networking, all the social media busyness. It's all a lot of activity and it all generates a lot of dopamine hits and these feelings of accomplishment, which is dangerous because you feel like you're doing something. But if your fundamental strategies are broken, you know, for conversion and retention, like we mentioned, then all this busy work is just a very expensive distraction.
But why does this happen? I think we've mentioned this point before, like, why do we behave in this way? Why do we seek like these dopamine hits or making our podcast look good when actually the show maybe isn't as successful as it needs to be? And it happens because humans naturally are drawn to what feels visible and measurable. We crave metrics we can easily track and compare followers, downloads, traffic. This bias towards observable metrics is really hardwired in our psychology and is what we call conspicuous achievement, our tendency to prioritize victories other people can see over the invisible systems that creates sustainable success. So for Sarah, this explains why she was focused on, hey, let me just make my bookstore look great. Let me get a bunch of people in here because it looks successful. More visitors created this illusion of progress, activity she could see and feel, while the invisible problem of conversions remained unaddressed.
And obviously, this isn't just Sarah's story. It's the story of countless businesses that chase vanity metrics while everything else crumbles, the foundations. Like a restaurant obsessing over followers but ignoring customer satisfaction. Like an e-commerce business driving loads of traffic through ads to a website but with really low conversion rates. Like a startup celebrating getting onto the news or celebrating press coverage, but the product just disappoints users. And here lies the great irony of business and entrepreneurship. The very traits that drive us to start ventures, this optimism, action orientation, and our natural competitive spirit, can blind us to this fundamental flaws in our approach. Because our optimism tells us more exposure will solve everything. And our bias for action keeps us busy with marketing rather than the messy work of strategy and strategic thinking and reassessment. And our competitive nature has us chasing what others are doing rather than discovering our unique formulas for success without sounding too woo-woo.
Now, the most successful businesses recognize these psychological traps and deliberately counter them. They prioritize what works over what's visible. They focus on systems over signals. They seek out differentiating advantages rather than trying to be competitive with everyone. For podcasters, this means recognizing the profound truth that a show built on flawed foundations cannot be fixed with more exposure. No amount of marketing can compensate for content that doesn't convert strangers into listeners or keep those listeners coming back for more.
Think about it like this. If your podcast only converts 1% of potential listeners into actual listeners, like people who see your show, out of 100, only one becomes a listener, and only 5% of them become regular listeners, then getting 1,000 people to discover your show results in half a listener. So not even a full regular listener, because 10 people would actually listen and then literally less than one of them on average would actually stick around. That's crazy, isn't it? And that is why doubling or tripling your marketing efforts barely moves the needle. Whereas instead, if you focused on fixing the conversion rate to 10% and the retention rate to 50%, which, by the way, is completely possible, and that's exactly what we're doing with our clients inside the Get More Listeners Academy, that was a bit of a mouthful. Now, those same 1,000 potential listeners, people who see the show, impressions, if you like, would bring you 100 people that go and listen and 50 who stick around, which is what, a 100x improvement with the exact same marketing effort?
Now, for most people, this requires a massive and profound shift in their mindset from outward focusing on hustling to inward focus optimization. It means temporarily ignoring what everyone else is doing and instead asking the uncomfortable questions about your own content. If I were discovering this podcast for the first time, would I be compelled to listen beyond the first few minutes?
Does my content create genuine anticipation for the next episode?
And am I truly differentiated compared to the thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of other podcasts out there? Or am I just another voice saying very similar things?
These questions, they force you to confront what you've been avoiding. And that sounds very personal, what we all tend to avoid. And if you're listening to this podcast and your podcast isn't growing, then definitely what you have been avoiding. It's that sustainable growth isn't about working harder at promotion. It's about fundamentally rethinking your strategy and your listener experience. And with just a few tweaks around these things, you can massively transform the growth trajectory and therefore monetization of your show.
So what does this look like? Well, there are three key stages in order to grow a podcast. Number one is conversions, turning more strangers into first-time listeners. Your first priority isn't getting more exposure if your show isn't growing. It's ensuring that your content is effectively converting strangers into listeners. So ask yourself, is my podcast concept and content genuinely appealing to a specific target audience? Does my show's description, artwork, episode title clearly communicate the value as to why that listener should listen? And are my first few minutes of each episode compelling enough to keep new listeners hooked? That is stage one, turning strangers into first-time listeners.
And stage two is retention, which is turning those listeners into repeat listeners and really into fans. So before seeking more exposure, you need to ensure your existing listeners keep coming back, right? Like Sarah. So in this case, you know, it's not, can you recommend them more books? For you, the questions to think about is, do listeners binge multiple episodes once they discover your show? Are you creating content that builds anticipation for future episodes, or does each guest kind of just stand alone and then the next episode has no relevance? Have you established a clear content strategy that delivers consistent value, meaning value around the same problem for the same person who needs every episode at the same time? And are you building community and connection with that audience? And a great way to measure this is take just, I don't know, 100 minutes of your content. What percent of that is you talking to your audience personally rather than a guest talking to your audience personally? Because particularly if you want to monetize through your own services, whether you're a coach or an expert or any situation where listeners might work with you, then it's really important that you are the one building the connection, not just your guest.
And then the third and final stage is, of course, exposure. Scaling when things are actually in place for scaling to be able to occur. Only after stage one and stage two are working should you focus on exposure. Now that you have a show that effectively converts and retains listeners, each new person you reach has a higher lifetime value. Your marketing efforts produce way better results, they're more profitable, and they actually affect your growth in a much more significant way. When you do guest appearances, post on social media, collaborate with other people, people don't just discover your podcast, they stick around long term. The hard truth is that exposure can't fix a conversion problem. More traffic to your podcast that doesn't connect with listeners won't create long-term sustainable growth. And more people who discover your podcast or a podcast where they don't feel compelled to return is just a wasted opportunity. So the question becomes,
what small change could you make today to improve your podcast's ability to convert strangers into listeners or turn casual listeners into repeat listeners and fans?
And look, if you haven't already, be sure to go down to the show notes and grab your free copy of our best-selling book, Podcast Marketing, or typing www.podcastmarketing.com.
getmorelisteners.com/book. And of course, what you'll also get is a totally personalized mini show audit that's completely personalized to you and your podcast. Yes, like I've said 1,000 times, this is absolutely 100% a bribe and a way to get you into our world and what we're doing.